Tech Thursday on The Last Word.
With the 100% electric XPeng G6. Packed full of tech.
Andy O'Donoghue is with us for Tech Thursday, and we're going to talk about screenless wearables. What do you mean by that?
There is an increasing trend, Matt, and it seems to have come out of nowhere, but people are kind of saying, they're admitting to what we're calling notification fatigue. The idea is that smartwatches keep beeping, they keep buzzing, they keep disturbing you. You move your arm in bed and the light comes on in the middle of the night, and then all day long you're in a WhatsApp group and you forget to turn off the notifications. Smartwatches are distracting and people are fed up, but they still want to track their fitness and health. So there is a big movement towards screenless wearables.
Like the Whoop that I'm wearing.
Like the Whoops, trackers without screens. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but there are plenty of other ones.
There are lots of them. Yeah, and just launched, the Google Fitbit Air has just come out, €99. And this kind of looks
I thought the Fitbit was a screen as well with digits on it and things.
The new one isn't.
Yeah. Oh, so this is, they're moving into this.
This is where they're going, yeah. And
so no OLED display on
it? No displays. That's all of these devices that we're talking about, and including this one, no displays at all. So basically you're relying on your app for your information.
Okay, so what is this Fitbit Air? As he has described, has been like a tiny discrete pebble on a fabric band.
Well, and that's pretty, and it is so small. I think it weighs 5.2 grams. No screen, no buttons, 7 days of battery life. But what does it monitor? 24/7 heart rate, sleep stages, SpO2, and it detects AFib as well. It has automatic detection for workouts, so whether you're running or you're walking or you're cycling. And then, of course, you can integrate it directly into Google Health, into the premium coach. €99, very attractive pricing. But I think, Matt, the big catch for this is that people are going to say, well, I don't like the screen. You know, if I'm going to review my stats, it's going to be on my phone. And so I think Google have really nailed it with this Fitbit.
Okay. What's the Hume Health Band?
This is a completely different price band, €355. And this is more sort of intense monitoring. And it's kind of designed to act as an early warning system for your body, monitoring shifts in your cardiovascular and your metabolic strain. And again, no screen. So people are happy to leave them on 24/7. You don't have that midnight disturbance. Tracks HRV. The heart rate variability and regular heart rate, skin temperature, sleep stages. It generates what they call a metabolic capacity and metabolic momentum, which are designed really, they're like the readiness score, but also with a kind of a view for longevity scores. Water resistant, IP68, has 4.5 days of battery life, and there is no mandatory subscription to access your core data, which I really like.
But that's the sort of the difference from Whoop. So this sounds very much like it's doing the same things. You get to keep your own information all the
time,
and you don't have monthly or annual fees to pay.
Exactly. Yeah, there is an optional premium coaching for kind of, you know, deep biohacking, they call it. But the core data is yours, and I think it's attractive at the price for that.
I was talking to somebody last week who I noticed, and I said to him, was wearing a Whoop, but also was wearing an Oura ring. The Oura ring, you've spoken about many times, but they keep updating it and upgrading it. So the Oura ring 4 is what's out now.
Yeah, we're on the 4. Very popular. They got a big kind of celeb launch. They've done really well. And one of the things about them is because smart rings measure signals directly from the finger, where blood flow is often easier to detect than at the wrist, many users find the sleep and recovery data really accurate. And that's kind of a difference about these. The Oura ring, very well made. They're expensive. They're about €400. You can get them in various sizes. If anyone's looking at them, get the sizing kit first. You try the sizing kit, you get it sized up, and then they send you your correct size. Really important that you do that. And the membership isn't bad if you subscribe. It's about €6 a month for the full functionality, but it has 8 days battery life. And you get blood oxygen level, daytime stress, and you get female health metrics as well. Incredibly popular. An alternative, though, I would say, is have a look at the Ultra Human Ring. And that's just been launched, the new version of that, which is called the Air. €379, but It gives you all that data, again, like you just said, without the subscription. So once you buy the ring, the app and all the insights are completely free forever. Really light, by the way, I should say. They're just 2.5 grams, and you get all of that HRV and temperature metrics, the dynamic recovery score, which people are starting to do. And, you know, it follows the your circadian rhythm. It learns about you and helps you regulate stress. So a nice option without a subscription.
Okay, what's the obsolescence rate of these things? Because, you know, the way I've always given out about phones, they die on you and whatever, and you battery life. How long do these things last? Or how much of an improvement are the upgrades that you'll want to get rid of the old one to replace it with the new one?
I think you've got to be thinking about 2 years is probably the time. I think most people, there are some stats about how long people use trackers and things like this for. And if they make it easy without a subscription, I think people will leave them on longer. So that will allow manufacturers to charge us a bit more at the beginning of the journey. But if somebody's training for a marathon or they're plan on, you know, getting a bit fitter, losing some weight, things like that, 6 to 8 months, people report that they tend to wear these devices for. But after 2 years, that's when you can think about upgrading, I think.
I have mentioned the Whoop because of personal experience. You actually have it in here. And we talk about the upgrades. We're now at Whoop 5.0, aren't we?
And yes, Whoop 5.0, which is, you know, the gold standard for high-performance athletes. You see so many high-performance athletes wearing these. And it doesn't care about your steps. This is about your cardiovascular load.
But it does measure your steps as well.
It does. But the core data is, you know, it's designed to tell you when to push hard and when to take a rest day. And you have, you know, the strain and recovery scores, the sleep coach. And I don't know if you have noticed, but I love that charging. You can do the on-wrist charging. There's a little charging pack you pop on
your
wrist.
You never have to take it off.
You never have to take it off, which is ingenious. So at about €265, you get the hardware. That's for the annual subscription. People love the Whoop, and I think it will remain incredibly popular.
Although I have found that sometimes the slide-on battery pack doesn't work on some, and I've seen that with other members of the family with devices, so they're not perfect in that regard. You have a thing called the Bellabeat IV Plus. What is this?
And IV Plus is a screenless wellness tracker specifically designed for women. And it's designed as a very fancy screen-free bracelet. It looks really good and you can customize it, add different straps so it doesn't look like everyone else's. But basically it monitors biometric data without looking like a piece of tech. And so it correlates daily habits with female cycle, offers insights into fluctuating hormones and how that can affect your resting heart rate. Very popular for people who are looking at maybe becoming pregnant because it has really advanced fertility and ovulation tracking features. And I think for the price, it's €380. We're seeing this kind of settling around 300 odd euros. But for women who may be going on that journey, it's proving incredibly popular also.
Okay, and you also have AI related products, the Be AI Pioneer and the Fieldy AI wearables.
And these are, I'm wearing my Fieldy around my neck. I've been wearing one of these. They're just a little disc. They look, you know, about the same size as an old 50 pence coin.
And actually very similar to the Apple Tag.
It looks like an Apple AirTag, yeah, a little bit bigger. And what this does, I subscribe to Fieldy. And so what this does is it records my conversations all day long, whether I'm talking to somebody or to someone else. And what it does...
You're only telling me this now.
Well, what it does, it doesn't record them, but it writes a dictation. And the dictation, it saves these notes. And then what it does is it gives me a daily report. And it tells me the things I did during the day. If I ask myself to make little notes and things like that, it'll put them automatically into my calendar. But what it does, Matt, is it uses AI algorithms to analyze my tone and my voice and to tell me if I was upset or if I was perhaps spoke too loudly or if I didn't listen to somebody's point. It gives me an AI analysis of how I have interacted with people throughout the day.
Auntie, that's horrifying. That's dystopian.
Or is it, Matt? Is it the analysis that no one else will ever give you?
But hold on, is that recording other people's voices as well when you're in conversation with them, or is it just your side of the conversation?
It's recording. You set up who you are, and so it notes who you are. But it does do dictation. If you're at a meeting and you want to capture a dictation, you can do so. You should tell people, obviously, in the same
way. You should.
In the same way that we tell people to look at Zoom notes. But I find myself, I know this sounds slightly bizarre, but I do find myself chatting to it late in the evening, making notes for the next
day. Yes, that is bizarre, Andy. but this, you know what actually brings to mind is that, remember all the fuss, it was this time last year, OpenAI did a deal with Jony Ive of Apple for an AI device.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen yet, and this talk it might be 2027 before we see it. But what you have just shown me, that little circular disc which looks like an Apple tag, if it's doing what you're saying, suggests they're ahead of what OpenAI is doing, but that the Jony Ive item could be very similar to that.
I think it will be very similar. And this, since I've been using it, I bought this as kind of an early adopter. And, you know, you'll buy them for between 100, 180 euros.
And now they know everything about you, Andy.
And but the thing is, Matt, I find it incredibly useful. I don't wear it all of the time, but I have been using it solidly for a week. I've got the most brilliant synopsis of meetings. And I also have got really interesting reflections on conversations that I've had when it said, you know, perhaps you didn't make your point strongly enough, or perhaps you overmade the point you should not. You know, et cetera,
so is this thing going to be writing a report for you tonight on your performance in the studio discussing it?
It's going to tell me later that Matt Cooper was fascinated by your rundown.
Fascinated. I just said horrified by this particular one.
Perhaps. But don't, an AI is never going to say that, is it?
And maybe that's part of the problems as well. Thank you very much for joining us on Tech Thursday. Andy O'Donoghue.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.